And His mercy endures forever. Oh, geez. And His mercy endures forever.
And His mercy endures forever.
Amen, amen, amen. Congratulations, Jacob. Good to see you since the birth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that before the end of this service, that every demonic, oppressive thought will be gone from this building. Any and every oppressive thought will be gone and destroyed by the power of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So we got a lot to cover, so let's get right into it. Are you ready?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll begin there. We're in a series that we're calling Give No Place to the Devil. This is actually part 3 of the series. Give No Place to the Devil. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11, and they'll have it on the overhead for you there. Glory to God. It says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Well, we'll look at other scriptures, but just from this one scripture, we see that under certain conditions, he's writing to the Corinthians, he's writing to Christians, not talking to the world. The world's already under the power of the devil, whether they know it or not. But writing to Christians, he says, under certain conditions, Satan can take advantage of you. Now, the specific thing that he's talking about here in context is unforgiveness. But unforgiveness is just one thing that gives place to the devil. But he says, unforgiveness, and there's many other things, give place to the devil. So he says, number 2, he says, we are not ignorant of his devices. The word devices, there's an interesting word, because everywhere else in the New Testament, it's either translated mind, minds, plural, or thoughts. That's interesting, isn't it? Thoughts. For instance, we know in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he talks about, casting down imaginations and reasoning and bringing every thought. That's that word. Same exact Greek word as devices. So we are to bring into captivity every thought that's not in line with the Word of God. We are to bring it into the obedience of Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Rick Renner says this word includes emotions and carries the idea of being confused and deceived. We are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of how the devil operates. He brings cleverly designed lies through thoughts and imaginations and reasonings to our minds in order to get us to believe something that is not true. Can you say amen?
Amen.
One theologian even said this. He said, talking about this word, he said it could be translated mind game. Mind games, mind games. And so again, the purpose of these confusing, deceptive emotions and thoughts is to try to get us to believe a lie. In other words, to get us to believe something that's not in line with God's Word. Anything, we understand that, don't we? Anything that's not in line with God's Word is a lie.
Amen.
And a person is deceived because they believe a lie. In other words, if they believe that something is true, that in fact is not true. That's deception. Glory to God. All right, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4, and we'll look at verse 27 here. Glory to God. Ephesians 4, verse number 27, again, writing to the saints at Ephesus, the Christians, the believers, amen. And he says to them, neither give place to the devil or nor give place to the devil. Understood subject of the sentence is you, don't you give the devil any place. Well, that means it's possible to give him a place. Amen. It's possible to open the door to the devil in your life. So don't you Christians give the devil any place. Glory to God. Amen. And of course, if he has place, then what does he come to do? The devil comes to steal and kill and destroy. Amen. He will, if he gains access into our lives and gets us to believe his lies, then he will dominate our lives or control our lives or rule over our lives in that particular area. Glory to God. Now, just turn over, maybe on the same page of your Bible, and look at Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll begin with verse number 10 in a moment. But let me remind you of what 1 Peter 5, 8, 9 says. Like I said, this is actually part 3. 1 Peter 5, 8, 9. Maybe you could put that one up for me first, 1 Peter 5, 8, 9, so they could look at that. It says, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, you need to be aware of this. You need to look out for this. You need to be on guard for this. You need to be on the ball about this. And again, he's going to talk about how the devil operates here. and that we do have an enemy. See, some people don't even hardly believe in the devil. Some people believe, I say they believe in him, but they act like in everyday reality that he's not there. But he is continually trying to sow ungodly, deceptive thoughts into our mind that are not true. And so you have to be aware of this. You have to be on guard for this. You have to, and there's 1,000 things to know about this. For one thing, you have to realize that this is subtle. In other words, he's not obvious. He doesn't show up with a pitchfork and a red, scaly, and horrendous, horrible-looking creature and say, I'm going to kill. Go ahead and obey God so I can have access into your life and destroy you. He doesn't do that. He shows up as the cool, young college professor that begins to sow Antichrist philosophies into your mind. You understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. So be aware of this. Amen. Hallelujah. Because, why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour or prey upon. If you're devoured, then you're hurt. You're devastated in some way. So again, we see that the devil, under certain conditions, can devour people. He can get a place in their lives. There are some he may devour and some he may not devour. Say, I'm a may not. Amen. Glory to God. So how do we stop him? Glory to God. How do we stop him from having place in our lives? Well, it tells you right here. That's what we're going to really get into today. Verse number 9 says, 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, resist him. Resist him. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith. Or I like one translation, it says, with your faith. James 4:7, you're familiar with that, says, submit to God and what? Resist. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. So with that fresh in your mind, now let's look back at Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verse number 10. Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong. It's interesting, even this word finally, we just kind of brush over that. But you know, Greek scholars tell us that this word finally means this is the last and most important thing I want to talk to you about. Now that's amazing considering the book of Ephesians and what he's already talked to us about. He's talked to us about redemption. He's talked to us about grace. He's talked to us about adoption. But to these Ephesians, who we later know left their first love and who had some problems, that's why he was telling them not to lie to one another and steal and, you know, to be angry and sin not and walk in love to one another and, you know, let the inward life come out and don't live after the old man. He's telling these group of Christians, this is the most important thing I'm going to say to you. And he says, finally, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of God. Put on the whole armor of God. To what purpose? That you may be able to stand against. Does that sound like resist to you? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. The Greek word withstand in verse number 13 is the exact same Greek word found in James 4:7, translated resist. Withstand, resist. Stand against. See, withstand, resist in the evil day, and having done all, to stand or stand against. Stand against, therefore, glory to God, these demonic forces and kingdoms and so forth. Hallelujah. So the word, you know, we see this over and over again. Resist, 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 withstand. Don't cooperate with, don't yield to. Can you say amen? So Peter and Paul and James all tell us to resist, to stand against, to withstand the devil. But specifically, Ephesians 6:11 says we are to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, we looked at that word a while ago, you know, ignorant of his devices, his mind games. This word wiles, the Amplified Bible says the strategies and deceits of the devils. Wiles has to do with being sneaky or tricky. Most importantly, has to do with being deceptive. The devil is a master deceiver. He convinced 1/3 of the angels they could defeat God. You're a pretty good liar if you can do that. Because he had zero chance of accomplishing his goal. But he convinced 1/3 of those heavenly beings they could do it. So don't try to, you don't play around with the devil. You just say, go in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are to resist the wiles of the devil. So wiles refers to deception, but it also carries with it the definite connotation of this is his avenue or his plan of attack. This is the way he gets inroads into your life. Amen. He works his deceptive plan of attack to gain inroads into our lives by sowing suggestive, plausible sounding reasonings and arguments into our mind that are not the truth. And we are to resist those thoughts and reasonings and arguments that come to our mind that are not in line with God's Word. Glory to God. So he brings again deceptive, plausible sounding, cleverly disguised lies, arguments, thoughts, reasonings to our minds that are not true. Amen. His goal is to get us to accept and believe something that's not true. That's deception. That's being deceived. If you believe something that's not true, then you are deceived. If you knew it wasn't true, then you wouldn't be deceived. And that's his whole goal. He wants us to believe a lie. He wants us to believe something that's not true. If we believe a lie, again, we are deceived. Here, a deceiver, this is straight from the internet definition. Here's a deceiver. A deceiver causes someone to believe and accept as being valid what is false and invalid. And the devil is a master. Amen. He is the ultimate deceiver. He causes people to believe and accept all kinds of things as being valid when they are in fact false and invalid. Are you listening to me? And if he can get us to believe a lie, then we will doubt God's word and we will disobey God's word and we will empower that lie to control the way we live. That lie will become our reality. There's people that believe they're a man in a woman's body and that controls their life. It's a lie, but they believe it and it empowers that lie. And so it becomes a reality to them, even though it's not the truth. People believe they're not loved. If you're a born again Christian, now what do you mean you're not loved? You're accepted in the beloved, capital B, that means in Christ. God Almighty Himself loves you and cares about you. And on and on and on and on. Amen. And there are Christians, again, that are walking in the light. They love God. They're not perfect, but they're walking in the light. I'm talking about all over the world. And we kind of take it for granted because we've had some good teaching on the righteousness of God. But there are massive numbers of Christians that are tormented and riddled with guilt and shame and condemnation. Yet they're born again and washed in the blood of Jesus. You can't get any more right than that. And you see, but because they believe that lie, they live a life of defeat. You're not going to boldly pray to God and ask Him to do anything or be used of God when you feel guilty and condemned. You're not going to boldly praise Him and enter into a relationship with Him when you feel that way. And, you know, these people, a lot of times, they end up acting out their shame and guilt with all kinds of different destructive actions and habits. So you see how this works in all areas and in all realms, not just sin, but in believing anything that's not in line with God's Word. So what do we do? What do we do when the devil very cleverly and subtly brings thoughts to our minds that are not in line with God's Word? What are we to do? What are that just, we complicate this and we complicate everything to do with the devil. The fact of the matter is Jesus Christ defeated the devil and His victory is our victory. Amen. Hallelujah. And all we have to do is believe that and rest in that and then do what He told us to do. Hallelujah. What are we to do? We are to resist those thoughts. We are to resist the devil, not accept those thoughts. Don't entertain them for one minute. Stand against them. Withstand them. Peter said to resist him steadfastly. That means be firm and unwavering in your resistance. So the devil comes and he tempts you to sin or he tells you that you're unloved or he tells you that you have to be depressed or he tells you that you have to be afraid. Those are all wrong thoughts. So they're ungodly thoughts. See, an ungodly thought is any thought that's not in line with God. So when the devil does that to you, what are you to do? You are to, come on now, help me out. You're to resist the thought. And then he leaves and he comes back 10 minutes later. What are you to do? And he comes back a day later. What are you to do? And he comes back 30 times later. What are you to do? And he comes back 1,000 times more. What are you supposed to do? Resist it. Resist it. Refuse it. Cast it down. Reject it. Glory to God. And as long as you resist it and refuse it and cast it down, then he has absolutely no power in your life. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody says, that's a whole lot of resisting. I mean, are you telling me I've got to do that the rest of your life? Amen. I'm telling you, you've got to take out the garbage of your house for the rest of your life. Yeah. And if you don't take out the garbage in your house, I don't want to come visit you in 5 years. I'm telling you, you've got to bathe regularly. You got to brush your teeth and comb your hair regularly. And if you don't ever bathe and if you don't ever comb your hair, or if you just do it occasionally and you don't, it's not a lifestyle with you. I went to a trailer one time to see somebody, and I'm talking about it was a pig path stacked this high with clothes and garbage and junk. And I mean, it was a trail to the bathroom and a trail to the sink, and that was it, the whole house. That's the way they lived. I know that's unthinkable, but I was there. I'm an eyewitness. I saw it. Can you imagine going to a Christian spiritual house? And they haven't resisted the devil? You know what? Sure, you do it. And if you don't, you'll be in a mess. Are you listening to me? So we are to, everybody say, continually resist. It's interesting, the word resist in James 4:7 in the Greek, the Greek word is A-N-T-H-I-S-T-M-I. Which is where we get our medical word, antihistamine. Antihistamine. What is an antihistamine? Well, I'm a long way from being a doctor, but an antihistamine blocks and stands against things that are trying to hurt your body. Very simple, but that's, you know, it's trying to block those histamines that have gotten out of control and that cause your body problems. It stands against them. It blocks those things. Now listen to some different thoughts and definitions from some Greek dictionaries and lexicons and commentaries and theologians. Dr. Roy Hicks, who's preached right here for us, says the word resist denotes more than an occasional resistance. It implies making a covenant to resist. You are free and you can be free in Christ Jesus, but that doesn't mean that you don't have the flesh to deal with. Amen. So as long as we are alive on the earth, you know, you should take a bath and you should take out the garbage and you should comb your hair and you should resist the devil. Are you listening to me? Amen. I said amen. The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament Hebrew, which gives us insight then into Greek and Hebrew words, defines this word resist as to resist perpetually rather than occasionally. Dr. Hicks again says, when you realize this and practice it in everyday life, and this it will become a part of your fixed attitude and lifestyle. It's just a part of my attitude to get up and take a bath and comb my hair in the morning. You wouldn't want to see me three weeks from now if I didn't do that. Amen. You wouldn't want to see me tomorrow morning if I didn't do that. And he said, battles are won in the spiritual realm by resisting the devil. Amen. Come up here, John. I'm actually reminded of this. I've seen him give this example. Hallelujah. He wrote a wonderful little book on resisting the devil. He said, now don't resist. I can control him. I can do anything I want to him with him if he doesn't resist. Now resist. He's pretty strong. Amen. And when you do that and if you don't resist, thank you. Give him a hand. Oh, wasn't much of a hand, John, but there you go. I'm telling you, when you resist in the spiritual, when you don't resist in the spiritual realm, the devil will just shove you all around and have you believe in all kind of goofy things and crazy things and do anything he wants to do to you. But when you resist, he can't do anything to you. Amen. Amen. Strong's Concordance says resist means to oppose or to withstand. Bullinger, in his commentary, says it means to set oneself against, either in word or deed or both. Ellicott's commentary says, would you bring me that water? The devil can fight, but he cannot conquer if you resist. Clark's commentaries, strong as he is, strong as the devil is, God never permits him to conquer the man who continues to resist. Are you seeing something over and over and over that these people are picking up? Perpetual resistance, continue to resist, constantly resist, a covenant of resistance. Link says, the tense as well as the verb implies that we can successfully withstand the devil. Amen. Somebody says, well, I resisted the devil and he didn't flee. Well, I love you, but I'm going to believe God, not you. Always believe that the Word of God is the truth. Amen. Wheaton says, temptations when repelled disappear, and when habitually kept at a distance cease to exist. Now, I'm going to talk about that in a minute here, something very, very important. But it doesn't mean your flesh doesn't disappear and the devil doesn't disappear or cease to exist. We always have the flesh to deal with. We always have the devil to deal with. We understand that. I mean, it's like you probably heard this before, but the minister said, a guy said, I want you to pray for me that I'll never be tempted again. He said, do you want me to pray that you'll go to die and go to heaven? He goes, no. He goes, I just don't want to ever be tempted again. Well, as long as you're here alive on the earth in your body, still have you got born again, you got a brand new spirit, you still have the passions of the flesh, desires of the flesh, and the flesh wants to do some wrong things sometimes. That's why Paul says, I, the real me, the spirit man, the man on the inside, he said, I keep my body under. And every holy saint of God, the most holy saint of God that has ever lived, has had, unclean, wrong thoughts come to their mind. We just don't let those thoughts stay there. We resist them. We cast them down. We bring them into subjection to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Like the old saying, you can't help it because birds fly over your head, but you can keep one from building a nest in your hair. That's good though, isn't it? You can't help who knocks on your door. Anybody might knock on your door, but you don't have to let them into your house and entertain them. Amen. Praise God. So the thing what he's saying here, because this is very important, I want you to not misunderstand. If we have an area that the devil is trying to develop as a stronghold in our life, if we will resist, first of all, you got to get free. There's only one way to get free, and that's through Jesus Christ. Temptations, when repelled, disappear, and if you will habitually resist them, they will cease to exist in the sense that they don't dominate you anymore. They're not controlling you evermore. They're not putting pressure on you. It's just always there. The depression's always there. The lust is always there. The fear, no, that will cease to exist. Now, your body, everybody has a body, and the flesh is still there, and the flesh may still desire some wrong things, but it'll be under control, for a lack of a better term. Amen. So the key to victory is to steadfastly resist the devil. What are we to resist specifically? His wiles. Those thoughts and suggestions and arguments and reasonings and philosophies that are wrong. What's wrong? Well, obviously temptations to sin are wrong. They're not in line with the Word of God. Obviously doubt is wrong. Fear is wrong. Unbelief is wrong. Obviously, any kind of thought that attempts to stir us or persuade us to disobey God, those thongs are wrong. In short, any thought, imagination, dream, whatever, any thought that is contrary to, or that opposes, or that disagrees with, or that's not in line with God's Word is a wrong thought and should be resisted. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Again, obviously, sinful thoughts that we receive and act on gives place to the devil. But not only that, if you give place to depressive thoughts, that may not be a sin per se, but it's going to give place to the devil in your life. To fear thoughts, that's going to give place to the devil in your life. To insecure thoughts, rejection thoughts, whatever it is, that gives place to the devil. So the Bible, like I said, we need to uncomplicate some things here. The Bible tells us exactly, everybody say exactly.
Exactly
how the devil operates. He has not changed. This is what he tried on Eve in the Garden of Eden. Are you listening to me? Successfully did it to her. It's interesting that 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, the serpent beguiled or deceived Eve through his being subtle and crafty. He did not approach Eve and say, Eve, disobey God. get kicked out of the garden, cause a curse to come on the earth, destroy your life. Now you go back in Genesis and it says the serpent. Now I know when you think of a serpent, you think of a sneaky snake, you know, and it kind of freaks you out. But, you know, the serpent wasn't going to harm you in those days. He was probably very beautiful. No poison, wasn't going to strangle you. He's probably very beautiful. And the Bible says in Genesis 3:1, the serpent was more cunning than any of the beasts of the field. So he came up to her with, you know, one of the definitions of subtle is not obvious. Not obvious. And so in a very unobvious way, he began to say, did God really say? Well, he told us, you know, we couldn't eat it, we couldn't touch it. Somebody says, well, it never said you couldn't touch it. Well, I know, but maybe, you know, we don't know everything God said to him. And if you don't touch it, you can't eat it. And she began to reason and think and play along with it. And first thing you know, she's disobeyed God and caused all those problems in her life. Amen. This is the exact same thing that the devil tried against Jesus unsuccessfully. Why? Because he resisted the devil with the truth of God's word. And this is the exact same way he operates against us. Are you listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? Glory to God. So we know exactly what the devil does and how he operates. Amen. We know exactly how to one degree or another he gets people to believe a lie. We're told exactly how he oppresses people with wrong thoughts. And we know exactly how he gains access into people's lives to control them and bind them and rule over them and humble them and hinder them and pervert them and influence them in wrong ways. We're told exactly how he does it. Amen. And we see that when he gains access into people's lives, he hurts them in some way or another. Like I said, it started in the Garden of Eden and it hasn't changed. And the way to overcome is to get born again, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, full salvation, believe that he delivered you from every sin, from every wicked thing of the devil, glory to God, and then resist him and his lies. Now I want to give you a real life and very outstanding story, an example of exactly what we're talking about, because this is exactly how the devil operates. And it's through the ministry of Brother Hagin, you know, Kenneth Hagin. And it's recorded several places in his teachings. This one happens to be from his book, I Believe in Visions. And then, even though this is a vision, everything he says here can be perfectly lined up with the Word of God. And Brother Hagin, in 1952, had a vision where the Lord appeared to him and talked to him about a lot of things. And he's talking to him about the operations of the devil and demons and demon spirits. And then he says to him, he said, I'm going to show you how these evil spirits get a hold of people when they are allowed to. How the devil gets a hold of somebody. Because this is the exact same way he got a hold of Eve. This is the exact same way he tried to get a hold of Jesus. And this is the exact same way he tries to get a hold of you and I today. And this is the exact way he's operated for all these years, very successfully at times against people that don't know any better. And so he's talking about a real lady that he knew. And all of these events he's talking about, he saw them play out right before his eyes. But in the spirit, he sees Jesus. And the Lord said to me, suddenly in the vision I saw a woman. I immediately recognized her as being the former wife of a minister. She had divorced her husband, left her husband, and was now out in the world. And as he knew, you know, she had backslidden, gotten away from God, totally gotten away from God, to the point of, you know, not wanting God in her life, involved with man after man after man after man after man after man, seeking the particular thing that the devil sowed into her mind. As I had been introduced to her and her husband on one occasion and shook hands with them. Other than that, I didn't know either one of them. I had no communication with either one of them in any way. I only knew that she had left her husband. The woman was a child of mine, the Lord said. She was in the ministry with her husband. She was filled with the Spirit, and even the gifts of the Spirit were operating in her life. One day, an evil spirit came to her and whispered in her ear, you're a beautiful woman. I think she was an outstanding singer. And hearing him telling this story in other places, he said, you know, she's just one of those kind of people that whatever the world calls it, she had it. You could walk into a crowd of 5,000 people, and she'd stand out among all of them. Beautiful, excellent singer and so forth. She said, you're beautiful. You could have had fame. You could have had popularity. You could have had wealth. But you've been cheated in life by following a Christian life. Well, I'm telling you, I don't care how beautiful you are, how talented you are. If you just sing in your little church and glorify God, you're not cheated in life. in the first place, when millions are going to die and go to hell, you're going to go to heaven and spend all eternity with God. Amen. You get a chance to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and to live for Him and to minister to God's people and through your testimony and through your life cause other people to get saved. You ought to rejoice and be glad about that. Amen. But she said, you've been cheated in life. Now listen, the woman realized this was from the devil and said, get behind me, Satan. And the spirit left her for a period. In other words, she resisted that wrong thought, get behind me. She resisted it and the spirit left. By and by, the same spirit returned. He sat on her shoulder and whispered in her ear, you're a beautiful woman, but you've been robbed by taking this lowly walk of Christianity and living this separated life. Again, she recognized this is Satan and said, I resist you in the name of Jesus. And he left her for a while. But he came back again and sat on her shoulder, whispering the same things in her ear. This time she began to entertain those thoughts. For she liked to think that she was beautiful and was robbed and could have a great career and fame and fortune in the world. She liked to think those prideful thoughts. Very important that you understand something. Very important to a person's deliverance and freedom. You know, James 1:14 says, each one of us is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Your own fleshly desires. You're born again. You don't have any wrong spiritual desires. But you know, you get born again. If you're bond-headed, you're still bond-headed. Unless, you know, you... You got a new spirit. You didn't get a new body. You didn't get a new mind. That's why the Bible tells us to renew our minds, to keep our bodies under. Drawn away and enticed. The devil does the enticing, but he uses our own desires. Amen. You know, if you're playing a game against somebody, football, basketball, or whatever, you try to find their weak spot, don't you? And attack that. Well, the devil, he works on our flesh, our desires, and our wants. So he will cleverly, customly design an attack against my mind and your mind that's suited specifically to us and our situation, that appeals to us, or that triggers some sort of emotion or way of thinking or passion that for whatever reason we are susceptible to. And that doesn't mean you have to give into it. I'm just telling you this is the way he operates. She liked to think that way. You know, you may not be an easy target at all for the devil when it comes to depression. You may not have any problems with that area at all. Amen. But on the other hand, you may be more vulnerable or susceptible or more of a target or not as resistant when it comes to other things. You know, you got the flesh. You could get into depression, but that's really not an issue with you, not a problem with you. But man, when it comes to worry and being afraid... You see? Well, which area you think he's going to attack? Somebody comes along and says they're not really tempted to cheat and steal, but pride is a real temptation for them. Amen? Somebody's not tempted to be bitter and angry. That's not, other people, that anger is a big problem for them, but it's not a particular anger for them. But then sexual lust appeals to their flesh. And so the devil uses what appeals to us. He uses our own fleshly desires to see if he can get us to entertain those thoughts. And if we don't resist them, then those thoughts will become a stronghold in our minds and torment us and oppress us in the sense that they will always be with us. Now, I believe anybody that you have ever read after talked about demonology, and demons and evil spirits, they'll talk about oppression and they'll talk about obsession and they'll talk about possession. And I believe there's different levels of being oppressed and being obsessed and being even possessed of the devil. You know, Acts 10:38 says that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Every sick person that Jesus healed was under satanic oppression, for sickness and disease is satanic oppression. Well, if you've got a sickness or a disease, you know, there can be different levels of that. But if somebody actually has been diagnosed with a sickness or a disease, then that disease oppresses them. Maybe it oppresses them every waking moment of their life. Maybe somebody else, they're kind of okay for a day and a half, but then there it is and bothers them for a day or then it doesn't bother them for 2 days, and then you know what I'm saying? There's different levels of this. But it's always there. Some people are obsessed with some wrong thought. Now remember, any thought that's contrary to the truth of God's Word is a wrong thought. It may not be a sinful thought, but it's a wrong thought. Certainly sinful thoughts are wrong thoughts. But they're obsessed with some passion. They're obsessed with some sinful thought. To one degree or another, it's always there, always putting pressure on them. They're obsessed with depressive thoughts, insecure thoughts, rejection thoughts, fear thoughts, worry thoughts. It's always there. And part of the reason it's always there is because people have yielded to it. But part of the reason they yielded to it is because it was already a part of their natural makeup, their mental, emotional. You know, some people they say they want to be free, but they enjoy their problem. They carry it around with them like a trophy. Have you seen my depression today? What's the matter with me? Oops. Fix me there, baby. Fix me.
You knew something was wrong.
Huh? Thank you. Now, back to this story. Are you following me so far? You following me? She resisted twice. She knew it was the devil. He left. Came back again, sat on her shoulder, whispering the same thing in her ear. This time she began to entertain those thoughts, for she liked to think them. As she began to think along the line the devil suggested to her, she became obsessed with that type of thinking. Then in the vision, I saw the woman become as transparent as glass, and I saw in her mind a black dot. The Lord said the dot represents the fact that she is obsessed in her thinking with this spirit. At first, she was oppressed on the outside, but as she allowed the devil's suggestions to take hold of her thoughts, her mind became obsessed. She wanted to think, I'm beautiful. She wanted to think I could have had wealth and popularity, but I had been robbed in life. Still, it wasn't too late. She could have resisted. She could have refused to think those thoughts, and the spirit would have fled from her, and she would have remained free. But she chose otherwise. How the devil operates. Finally, she left her husband, went out into the world. He knew that for a fact. He saw that. Seeking the fame and wealth which the devil offered, she took up with one man after another. After a time, the thing got down into her spirit. In the vision, I saw the black dot move from her head to her heart. And the woman said, I don't want the Lord anymore. Just leave me alone. And the Lord said, you know, Brother Hagin said, why are you showing me this? Do you want me to cast the devil out of her? And he goes, you can't cast the devil out of her because she wants it. She wants it. As long as she wants it, she can have it. She said, I've shown this to you for two reasons. I've shown it to you because I want you to see how the devil gets a hold of anybody. And he says, because, you know, she's causing embarrassment to her husband who's still in the ministry. This evil spirit through her harasses him, causes him problems. And he said, I want you to take authority over that foul spirit operating through her to try to hurt her husband. And he said, I did that, and all that harassment, and, you know, stopped immediately. And he says, this is how any believer can take authority. We don't have authority over human spirits or human wills, but we do have authority over the devil operating through people trying to harass us or hurt us or hurt the ministry or hurt us personally. Can you say amen? That's another story. I want to get to one last thing he said to her here because, he said, the Lord said, it's sad this woman left her husband for another man. Adultery is not the unpardonable sin. If she had turned back to me, she never did. If she had turned back to me in repentance, even though she might have had 100 men, I would have forgiven her. Glory to God. Whatever she might have done, if she had asked me to forgive her, I would have. And he says, or even if she had been a baby Christian, when she said, I don't want Jesus anymore, leave me alone, I would have forgiven her. And didn't actually realize what she was doing, I would have forgiven her. If she had done this because she was tempted and pressed beyond measure, I would have forgiven her. But she knew exactly what she was doing. She acted willfully, and she said, I don't want him anymore. And so he said, there's nothing you can do for her. Are you listening to me? Amen. Now, we've complicated this. Can you imagine if we took salvation and we told people now, okay, you got to want to get saved. I want to get saved. But then we just skip the part about accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's the only person that can save you. And we just start talking to them about you got to pray and you got to read your Bible and you got to come to church and you got to crucify your flesh. And they tried to do all those things year after year after year after year. You know what they would be? They would be miserable because they never actually got saved. And so a lot of times when it comes to dealing with the devil, and again, there's different degrees of oppression and so forth. But a lot of times in dealing with the devil, we tell, you know, people go to meetings and they say, you got to want to be free. And they go, I want to be free. God, I want to be free. And I'm doing everything you told me to do. I'm staying away from ungodly influences. I don't go to wrong places. I try not to watch the wrong kind of TV shows. I try to, you know, say no. But they never actually received the freedom that Jesus bought and paid for them. That's step one. I got an accountability partner. I got five. I call him and talk to him every week and told him how I failed 22 times last week. But you got to get free before you can do any of those other things. You don't have the ability to do it unless you are free. And the gospel, this is the gospel. This is what Christianity is all about. We could not save ourselves. We could not free ourselves. We could not help ourselves. We could not deliver ourselves. We cannot heal ourselves. We receive by faith that which Jesus has already provided and done for us. Amen. Now to do that, yes, 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 this is where this comes in. You do as an act of your will have to say, yeah, I want Jesus. You know what repent means? It means you turn from the way you're going and you turn to Jesus. You can't just turn from and then try to straighten yourself out. You know, you'll never be saved doing that. You have to turn from and turn to. Amen. But you're never going to turn to Him unless you turn from what you're doing. So yes, when it comes to being free from oppressive thoughts, whatever level they might be in our lives, we have to be willing to let it go. You can't play around with it. You can't say, well, I want to be free with it, but at times I want to enjoy this thought a little bit and I want to go ahead and yield to this or yield to that. No, no, no. You have to be willing to let it go for all eternity and say, I don't need this and I don't want this in my life. Amen. Glory to God, no matter what it is. And if it's a sinful thing, you have to repent of it and say, I repent. Glory to God. But you can't save yourself. You can't deliver yourself. The reason that you have to first want to be saved before you get saved, but you have to actually get saved. And now turn to Jesus and by faith receive the deliverance that belongs to you. Amen. Whatever that oppression is. Now some people don't do that because they want it. They like it. Or they're deceived into thinking that this is the way they have to be. I just have to live a life of depression. I have to live a life of fear. I have to live a life of you know, this passion or this with this. It's just me. I'm angry. That's just my nature. No, you can be free of it because Jesus already set you free. So we have to, by faith, receive. If you're sick, can you make yourself healed? What can you do? You can say, I accept by faith the healing that Jesus bought and paid for. Glory to God. Now resist the sickness. So turn to Jesus and by faith receive deliverance. Believe that Jesus on the cross sets you free. And that sin, if it's sin, has no more dominion and power over you. And the devil through these other avenues, through depression or feelings of loneliness or rejection or insecurity, has no more power over you because Jesus set you free from it. Take it by faith. Amen. And believe that you are freed from those demonic powers and those demonic forces and those demonic thoughts that attack your mind. Then you will be free. And then you will no longer be dominated by those things or controlled by those things. Again, a little tricky because you still got the flesh. You still got the flesh. Everybody has the flesh. Flesh is capable. Don't ever place any confidence in the flesh. Flesh is capable of doing anything stupid. I don't care who you are, who you think you are. But you know that this thing is not it's not like you're sick and it's just with you 24/7. It may show up every once in a while as a fleshly desire, and when it does, what are you to do? Talk to me. What are you to do?
Resist
it. So anytime you resist it, it will leave, and as you continually resist it, it will cease to exist in the sense that it will have less and less and less and less and less influence in your life. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I said, can you say amen?
Amen?
It really is that simple. and we've complicated. I mean, this is it's the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto our salvation, unto our healing, unto our deliverance, unto our freedom. Nothing else can save us. And now, yes, after you get saved, there are certain things you should do. And if you don't do those other things, then you'll open the door to the devil in your life. But you can't really do those things until you're first set free. Or until you first realize that you're set free and you take it by faith. So the key is to want to be free. Amen. Again, that doesn't mean you don't have the flesh, but you really want to be free. And then turn to Jesus. I like the story. Think about this. So many things in the Bible that, you know, we're over time now. But the demoniac that had a legion of devils. When he saw Jesus, he ran to Jesus. All those devils could not stop the man from running to Jesus. Even though he was totally possessed, he still had enough willpower to go, I know where my help comes from. And he ran to Jesus. Glory to God. So we run to Jesus. We turn to Jesus. Glory to God. And by faith, receive the victory that has already been won. Thanks be unto God who gives, it's a gift, who gives us the victory. Send it with me. That's enough. Send it with me. Glory to God. I want you to close your eyes just for a second. Just shut out everything. Amen. Concentrate on the Lord. Honor Him. Got any kind of thoughts tormenting your mind this morning? Any kind of obsessive thoughts? Any thoughts that torment you? That doesn't mean you're a sinner. That doesn't mean you're doing wrong, but they're just bothering you and tormenting you. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say this out loud. We're all going to say this. Amen. Say this. Everybody say, Lord.
Lord.
I run to you for help.
I run to you for help.
I'm willing to be free of this.
I turn to you.
I repent of not of yielding to this thing.
And by faith.
Right now. I take,
I received, I accept
the freedom that Jesus purchased for me when He rose from the dead, victorious over the devil and sin and everything that comes as a result of the devil and sin. I believe that Jesus has set me free. I confess that I am free. Now, Satan, I resist you. I resist you in the name of Jesus. I resist your lies. I command every wrong thought and every demonic influence to leave me now in Jesus' name. Now, go ahead and lift your hands and praise God over that and thank Him for it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 I mean, Lester Sumrall went to the Philippines one time. It was a big story over there. It was a time when they wouldn't let you have a crusade, but the mayor gave him the whole city in Manila there to have a big giant crusade that still affects the nation of the Philippines to this day. Because there was a very famous girl that was on the news media every night, this is way, way back, who was in a prison cell and she was being bitten, but nobody was, I mean, she wasn't biting herself, but she was being bitten. And they found hair, and she talks about this. And so Lester was there, and he goes, oh, somebody just needs to go down there and cast the devil out of her. And he did. And she got set free. But when he visited with her and talked with her years later, you know, because when he talked to her, he even talked to her in English. She didn't know English. It was that evil spirit talking through her to him. But as the years went by and he knew her better and talked to her and so forth, she said, this girl was totally taken over and possessed and controlled by this evil spirit. She said, there were things he tried to get me to do that I would not do. Her will was still intact. She still had the ability to resist. And so I don't care what level of oppression you're in, you still have the ability to resist, to believe that Jesus set you, to want to be free, to believe that Jesus set you free, and then to begin to resist that thing. And when you do, it will leave you. That's the good news. That's the power and the simplicity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 And I've talked to people over the years because, you know, I've seen these things come and go. And I've seen things. I got in my office one time and he just, you know, he was supposed to be possessed, you know, so he's supposed to be possessed for the last 5 years. And so he rips off all his clothes and starts growling and everything. I was kind of like, you know, none of that impresses me. Because you're just doing that. That could happen, but you're just doing that because that's what you told you're supposed to do. The key is not in throwing up in a bag. The key is not in ripping your shirt off. The key is not even in the good things of having an accountability partner. You know, the Bible says, make no provision for the flesh. That's a good and godly thing, but that's not the key. The key is to accept by faith that Jesus Christ set you free. Now you have the power to resist. And as you resist, you'll experience the victory. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. If you're saved and you don't lift your hand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you're walking in the light, keep your hand lifted. Hallelujah. Everybody saved, walking in the light, doing what they should. Glory to God. Then go and be free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We love you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for joining us online. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.